The theme, as Christina said today, we are trying to lift up is friendship. And there is a story in Scripture that epitomizes that in many ways, but sometimes some of the deep meanings are missed. So let's listen to this story of Naomi and Ruth and others. This event happened a long time ago, in the time in Israel when there were judges. There was no king. There were no other formal leaders except the judges. It was a kind of a chaotic time, though, for people did what they wanted to as they saw fit. Now, in this time, it so happened that the place where Naomi was living, she was married to someone called Elimelech. And I'm going to talk about the names and their meanings a little bit because it helps the story come alive. Elimelech means God is my king. Naomi means pleasant. And so Naomi and Elimelech were living in Bethlehem, and there was a famine. Anybody know what a famine is? What's a famine? Stuart? That's right. Famine is when there's no food, and things were really, really difficult. Now, it's symbolic because the name Bethlehem means house of bread. And so there's an interesting story that even develops from the name of the town where they live. And so they decided that because there was a famine and no bread, no food there, they were going to move about 50 or 60 miles to the southeast to a territory called Moab. Now, it's not that it was so far to travel, but it is that it was very different. And the Moabites, the people that lived in Moab, did not get along very well with those who lived in Jerusalem and Bethlehem and other parts of Judah. And so the story begins to set for us a way of understanding that there's going to be some tensions. And so anyway, off they go with their two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, and they settled in Moab. Now there, soon afterwards, Elimelech died. That's sad, isn't it? So Naomi is alone. And her sons decided that they were going to take wives of Moab. And they married, each of them, a woman. One married a woman called Orpah, and the other a woman called Ruth. Now there's that name that we have to pay attention to. But you know what? Chilion and Mahlon, whose names mean respectively wasted and weak, they did not last long. They died. Oh dear. And so here we have Naomi, Orpah, and Ruth after 10 years all alone, no husbands, by themselves. Now in that day, it was very, very difficult and dangerous for women who did not have men to protect them. That's how the society was set up. And so after a time of mourning and sadness, Naomi decided that she was going to go back to Bethlehem to her own people and find out what's happening. She heard that food was coming back there again. And so she talked to her daughters-in-law, and they said, we're going to go with you. So off they went. They started out, but they didn't get very far. And then Naomi said, you know what? Why are you following me? You belong in Moab with your people. I think you should go back home and let me go on by myself. And they said, no, 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 we're going to go with you. But she insisted, you stay with your people. Go back to your people. Go back to your gods. And Orpah said, okay. And the name Orpah means turned away or turn your back. And she went back to Moab. But Ruth held on to her and kissed her. And she wouldn't let go. And she said, don't let me go. Don't make me go. And she said, because wherever you go, I'm going to go. Whoever your people are, they're going to be my people. Your God is going to be my God. I'm going to live where you live, and I'll be buried with you. And she insisted and continued. Now, Ruth's name means friend or compassion in Hebrew. And so they traveled on to Bethlehem. And when they approached Bethlehem, the people, especially the women, saw them coming and said, "Is that Naomi? Could that be Naomi?" "Yes, it is Naomi. And who is she with?" Well, it wasn't long before they discovered that this was her Moabite daughter-in-law. And they said, "Well, you have come back." "Yes, but don't call me Naomi anymore," meaning pleasant. "Call me Mara," meaning bitter, "because my life is ruined. I have no husband. I have no sons. I have my daughter-in-law with me, but I know only bitterness." But that wasn't the end of the story. Naomi and Ruth grew close together and became mutual support for each other. But they had to find a way to live. And so, in the day, Ruth would go out to the fields and she would glean. Now, it was the time of the barley harvest. And so the farmers and others were picking up their harvest. But there was a rule in Judaism that you were not supposed to harvest your entire field. You were always to leave a corner on the edges for the poor who could come and take what they needed. And so we know that Ruth and Naomi are in serious straits. They don't have a lot of money. And so Ruth goes and she starts to glean with her bag. She takes up the crumbs that the harvesters have gone over and she begins to fill her bag. Now, it just so happened that the field that she's harvesting belongs to somebody named Boaz, whose name means strong, very strong. And Boaz comes and he inquires, "Who is this young woman who is gleaning in my field?" I think he started to like her. That's what I think. You know, he noticed her. And a servant said, "Well, she's the Moabitess who is here, and she asked permission, and she's gleaning to fill her bag." So, well, I think that you should let her have some of the choice areas and let her have a bag full. So she went and followed, and he said good morning, and she said hello, and I think sparks were starting to fly, but that's just me. But anyway, and so she continued, and she filled her bag, and she went home and said to Naomi, her mother-in-law, "Look, I have almost a bag full of barley," and they were able to grind that to make some food. Well, she decided this was going to be a good place to go, and she kept going back. And Boaz told his foreman, "Make sure that you give her good crops and good harvest each time she comes." And that's how they survived for a while. Well, the time came when Naomi said, "You know, Ruth, you're getting older now. And I think we got to find a husband for you. We got to get a life for you. Because remember, it's very dangerous for women without that protection in that society." And so they came up with a plan. And Naomi said, "It's time for them to go to have the big celebration of the harvest. And there's going to be a party. And at the party, there's going to be lots of food to eat, lots of stuff to drink, wine. Anyway, wine and food." And what she said, when Boaz has had a good time and a good party and he falls asleep, "You make sure that you quietly and secretly go and lie down at his feet." Now that was a signal that she was interested in him. And so he fell asleep because he had a lot of food and the other stuff. And he went to sleep. And so secretly Ruth went. She got her blanket and lay down at his feet. In the night, he started and he woke up and he said, "Who is this here?" He said, "Oh, it is Ruth, the Moabite." And she said, "My, you have shown your interest. I respect that. And I told you there were sparks before because he liked her and she liked him. But there was one problem." And the problem was, according to the tradition, it was absolutely essential that the person closest in relative to Naomi be the one to marry Ruth and to redeem what's called redeem the property, buy the property that belonged to Elimelech. And so Boaz, although he wanted to, had to do the right thing. So the next day, after Ruth left secretly and went back to Naomi, he went to the market square and he called the elders and he said, "We have a transaction to do." And he called the next of kin and said, "You have the right to redeem their property and to take over so that the heritage of Elimelech would not be lost." That was important to continue the line. And so The elders agreed, and they were there to witness. Except Boaz said, not only do you have to redeem the property, you've got to marry her, Ruth. He was hoping that he wouldn't, you know, but you've got to marry Ruth. And have a child, and that child will be part of the inheritance. And right away, that other relative said, oh, no, I don't want that. Because they're going to take away this child, if I have a child with her, is going to take away the inheritance from my other children. So it's okay, Boaz, you have her, I don't want her. And Boaz, you know, he's acting all very professional and everything, but deep down inside he's going, And anyway, they went on, and Boaz and Ruth were married. And they had a child, and the name of that child was Obed. And Obed, that child, was absolutely delightful and wanted indeed in that community to be the source of joy for Naomi, whose life turned around. And the name Obed means servant or worshiper. And that was very important because this child, born of a foreigner of a different religion and of a Hebrew, became the mother of King David, the best known monarch in Israel. It is a way in this story that helps us to see the goodness of God in drawing together people for God's purposes, and to see that that is done in a spirit of friendship, of hospitality, and of grace and courage. A wonderful story, Naomi and Ruth. May our friendships be such that we also are open to the surprising ways of God to accomplish God's purposes through them. Amen.